From KQED and the California Report, this is Capitol Notes, a weekly roundup of California politics from the state capitol in Sacramento.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the History Channel, presenting 1968 with Tom Brokaw, Sunday, December 9th at 9 p.m., 8 Central, on the History Channel.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Capitol Notes podcast for this week ending December 7th. I'm John Myers from KQED and the California Report. And looking back at some of the week's political news, again, something different for the podcast for those of you who listen from time to time or fairly often, which, by the way, thank you. Rather than a journalist roundtable this week, another opportunity to bring you something different than happened in the week and some insight, I think, into what we always talk about, which is the state of California politics. On Tuesday of this past week, the Public Policy Institute of California held an event, a noontime event here in Sacramento, that looked at legislative reforms and talked about the need, the possible need for reforms of the legislature and the legislative process. And featured at this event were really some of the icons of California politics of the last 15 to 20 to longer than that, but certainly the last 20 years or so. And sitting on the stage, four former elected officials and one current elected official, and a panel moderated by the top pollster of the PPIC, Mark Baldessari. That panel included former Governor Pete Wilson, Republican, as you'll remember, former Assembly Speaker Willie Brown, the well-known and famous Willie Brown, former Democratic Speaker of the Assembly, used to call himself the Ayatollah of the legislature, was in charge for so many years there in the Assembly. Former Senate President Pro Tem John Burton, Democrat of San Francisco, who was in the legislature for quite some time and ended as a leader of the state Senate. And Jim Brulte, the former Republican lawmaker, former leader of the state Assembly, former Republican leader of the state Senate. So these four former lawmakers were joined on the stage by Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez. And it was an interesting discussion. It was a freewheeling discussion, as you're going to hear portions of it here in this podcast. It was profound and at times profane, as I wrote in a blog posting this week. But it was interesting. I think it was real insight into the legislative process and how it works. Mark Baldessari, the PPIC pollster, began the discussion, I think, with a question about, is the legislature dysfunctional? It's often talked about that the legislature doesn't operate as well as it should. There are a number of legislative reforms that could be considered. But this was the first question. Is the legislature dysfunctional? The first person to comment was former Governor Pete Wilson, who served in the Assembly at one time before he was governor. A little funny, but also acknowledging the fact that, in his opinion, yes, the legislature is dysfunctional.
Is the legislature dysfunctional? It is by times when it gets much too partisan. John Burton, Willie Brown, and I were in the Assembly many, many years ago. We needn't go into how far, but it's a matter of public record. And at that point, the legislature was far less partisan than it is today. And there were party positions taken on important issues, ideological issues for the most part, but also those that had a great political significance. Other times, vote your conscience, and no one particularly cared. People as smart and partisan as Jess Unruh, the famed Big Daddy, did not waste time with people who were voting something that was important to them for their district if it didn't really affect a major program that he was interested in. And I think Willie did pretty much the same thing. But the legislature has grown more partisan. It may have something to do with the fact that when John and Willie and I were all freshman assemblymen, there was a great deal more drinking in the legislature. These guys, the teetotalers, need to lighten up a bit.
Of course, Wilson got a good laugh, as you heard there, with his line. But there was a lot of talk about the way things used to operate, the sense of camaraderie that existed in the legislature that doesn't exist to the same level today, where things are much more polarized. Willie Brown, the former Speaker of the Assembly, former mayor of San Francisco, weighed into this issue as well and said he did not think the legislature is dysfunctional. He didn't blame it on the legislature itself or the legislators. He blamed it on the system that exists now. Listen to a little bit of what Willie Brown said he thinks the problems are.
Voting for or against a particular measure in most cases is a reflection of the people that elected you, the people that supported you, the people that believed in you, and the people you're going back to for a continuation of your opportunity to so represent them. Many times that causes you to be out of step with someone else who thinks the results are more important than your being representative of your constituency. I happen to believe you have an obligation to attempt to do that. On the other hand, as indicated by Governor Wilson, the leadership has the responsibility to try to fashion a result and a decision. Fabian Nunes has the responsibility to try to help Arnold Schwarzenegger get the budget, and so it be with the other leaders in the two houses. And in that process, they do whatever is necessary in terms of fashioning that budget in such a way that they get 54 and 27 and get it signed into law. And that sometimes takes lots of pain. Unfortunately, much of that is done now where everybody in the world can see it. When Randy Collier was the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, and I served as the chair of Ways and Means, and we had the private arrangement of the conference committee right in the budget with Maxine Waters and others who participated, Donald Gronsky and people like that, we produced a document that had the stamp of approval of Frank Letterman, pre-sold for budget approval purposes, no need for a Big Five, and of course it was an orderly process that looked good. Some would say reforms set in the early 70s, where they start requiring open conference committees, where they start requiring recorded votes, where they start requiring a number of things that inhibits good judgment. The results were...
How does that work?
The results were that you now have this clear and present danger outfit called the legislature trying to operate and produce a result where every member is trying his or her best to protect his relationship with his or her constituency. And the results are that there's a stalemate or gridlock.
Now, that's a very interesting comment. That was Willie Brown, the former Assembly Speaker, again speaking at this event Tuesday, former elected officials talking about legislative reforms. And former Speaker Brown talking about essentially, what it really sounds like is that he thinks that the open public process of the legislature has made the legislature somewhat more dysfunctional or somewhat less efficient than it should be. Now, you can read that two ways. Of course, there are some people who think that here Willie Brown is defending the closed-door system that used to exist, the good old boys slapping each other on the back kind of system. That may be one interpretation, and I submit it's hard to know exactly where Brown was going on this. But another interpretation could simply be, and you heard him allude to there at the end, that you've got a lot of members of the legislature now who kind of play to the public. They play to their constituency, and they are also somewhat intimidated by the constant election process of their constituency. I think that's certainly one possible read of what he meant there. Either way, this notion of crafting budgets completely in a back room, though, truth be told, they're now crafted in these Big Five meetings of the legislative leaders and the governor often. But, that I thought was interesting, too. Speaking of budgets, there was a pretty revealing moment with Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunes when he talked about the budget process. This is Speaker Nunes talking about the budget process. And listen to what he talks about here about the overriding mission in that budget debate every year.
When I see some of my members moving way too far to the left, I can bring them together. And I can get them to agree to do some things that they fundamentally do not believe in. But I can't do the same on the Republican side of the aisle. So I got to figure out ways to work with them, to bring them on board. And I can't think about structurally what is the best budget that you can concoct that is in the best interest of California. I got to think about how do I get 54 votes? And that is my challenge every year when I have to do a budget.
Again, that was a small sampling. But again, you heard Speaker Fabio Nunez there basically admitting that, you know, he has to so focus on this notion of a two-thirds vote, of getting the 54 votes in the assembly, that it's hard to focus on exactly what's in the budget. And Nunez there was talking about one of those reforms that's talked about a lot, which is removing the two-thirds vote requirement to pass a budget, making it a simple majority. California is one of only three states in the nation whose legislature has to pass a budget by a two-thirds vote, and clearly the largest state in the nation that happens. But on this issue of is the legislature dysfunctional at this event, which happened here on Tuesday in Sacramento, Jim Brulte, the former Republican leader in the legislature, had what I thought was a really fascinating examination of the dysfunction. And I think he made a little news here, as you'll hear him talking about, is the legislature dysfunctional? But also listen to what he talks about one of the causes of that, and one of the causes of polarization of politics at the state capitol now, which he believes, quite frankly, is declining membership in the two parties. I thought that was very fascinating. But here's Jim Brulte, former leader of the Republicans in the state capitol.
Do I think there's a single reform? No, I think there are three specific reforms, because I do think structure matters. First of all, I supported Prop 140. I'm a big believer in term limits. You have to extend the terms of members of the legislature. It's why I am supporting the current term limit legislation. 6 years is not enough in the assembly. Somewhere in California, a Democrat's going to be elected next November. They're going to go to Hertzberg Leonard University to learn a week about being a legislature. They're going to come back in January, and in February, before they know where the ATM is in the basement cafeteria to put money in their wallet, they're going to be presiding over multi-billion dollar decisions that affect all of us. I don't think they have the experience to do that. 6 years in the assembly gives us that. There's also another dynamic that 6 years gives us. Prior to term limits, the special interests needed the legislative leaders. Post-term limits, the legislative leaders need the special interest. And that's a paradigm shift that I don't think is healthy.
That's Jim Brulte, former Republican Assembly leader, former Republican Senate leader, talking about term limits. And as you can hear right there, which I think is a little bit of news, and the supporters of Prop 93 on the February ballot will certainly be touting this, Jim Brulte, former Republican leader in the legislature, appears to become the first prominent Republican to endorse the term limits initiative, the modification of term limits, Proposition 93. Brulte went on to talk a little bit also about changes that have happened in California politics as a result of the voters who now declare themselves to be independents, nonpartisans, or what we call decline to state voters. Here's Brulte on that.
Redistricting is the most partisan act that a political party can engage in. It is a blatant conflict of interest for legislators to draw their own districts. It is not why we have a partisan legislature. The legislature is increasingly partisan, not because of redistricting, as many pundits say. That helps. But we ought to fix that part, because it's an inherent conflict of interest to draw your own districts. We need a few more competitive seats. As long as you want to comply with federal law, you're never going to get competitive seats in most of the state, because you can't create a competitive seat based in Compton any more than you can create a competitive seat in Orange County for Democrats. There's one there. That's the reason, by the way, the legislature is polarized, is because from 1990, we went with 8% of the electorate were declined to state. Today, it's 19.2. Who are they? They're moderate Democrats that have left John's party. They're moderate Republicans that have left my party. When you void moderates out of parties, you empower the wings. When I ran for the assembly in 1990, conservatives had influence in our party primary. That is no longer the case. They have dominance in my party primary. The reverse is true with the Democrats. That's why the legislature is polarized. That's why Governor Davis had problems with his left wing, and why Governor Schwarzenegger has problems with his right wing.
Again, that was Jim Brulte, former Senate Republican leader, former Assembly Republican leader, speaking at this event on Tuesday in Sacramento. And pretty interesting, I think, to talk about decline to state voters, these nonpartisan voters, and the rise of them, and how they perhaps are the moderate voters that have deserted the two major parties in California. Also in this discussion, I'm talking about legislative reforms, was the issue of redistricting. There was some news about that this week where Governor Schwarzenegger endorsed a new proposed initiative to change the way political maps are drawn. Of course, this initiative would only change how maps are drawn for the legislature, giving that power to an independent commission, letting the legislature continue to draw the maps for Congress. That could become an issue as the governor tries to gather signatures for this initiative. And then everyone says that perhaps the legislature will come back to try to deal with this issue themselves rather than this going through the initiative process to get on the ballot. But redistricting was a topic in this meeting of the former elected officials and quintessential John Burton, the former Senate Democratic leader, Democrat from San Francisco, the irascible John Burton, the sometimes quotable but difficult to put on the air because of, shall we say, the former senator's penchant for words that are not in the family hour. So I will warn you now that this is John Burton uncensored talking about redistricting and other stuff.
I would like everybody here, when you go home, talk to your neighbor, go to the grocery store and say, does anybody give a shit about redistricting? It is the biggest bogus issue for the editorial boards. If you take away Common Cause, you got nothing. People don't give a shit. They don't understand it. And reapportionment has been done partisan-wise since the great days of Eldridge Gerry, all right? The world seems to live. Term limits, it's just a dumb idea anyway. And if you look not at the party, but if you look at the individual, it used to be the average was like almost 7 years that somebody served in the assembly and more than that. But redistricting, people do not care about, they do not understand it, and it's a bogus issue because the press has to write about something, the wonderful editorial boards, you know, they're wonderful. Then you got Arnold, he's looking for something to do because he's, you know, he's like Gray going through withdrawal. He hasn't had anything to raise money for a while. So he's, he's got another issue, and I'll close with this. Gray Davis promised himself once that he wasn't going to raise money for a month. It's like giving up something for Lent. And I jokingly said to somebody, I said, I bet he's going through withdrawals. And I asked him one day, I said, how you doing? And he said, 3 more days.
Thank you.
That was John Burton. That is the John Burton reporters heard. And that's why sometimes he was difficult to put in my stories as a radio reporter. The former Democratic leader of the state Senate talking about why he doesn't think redistricting is a big issue. Of course, some people now think that the voters are starting to understand redistricting and that perhaps that's showing up in the polling. But also there at the end, you heard Burton going back after Gray Davis. John Burton and Gray Davis did not get along. It was no secret. At the end of the Gray Davis administration, when of the former governor, those budgets were very painful to craft. And Burton and Davis were not friends, were not fast friends. And you heard Burton taking another shot at Davis's reputation as a prodigious fundraiser there. But again, the always colorful John Burton speaking there. Fabian Nunez, the Speaker of the Assembly, also talked a little bit about the process in Sacramento and what's going on now. And comments that drew attention certainly from those of us in the press corps, but I think a lot of the people in attendance. And by the way, there were, I would guess, at least a couple of hundred people at this thing. It was a very well-attended luncheon talking about legislative reforms and seeing all these icons of California politics sitting up there on the stage. But Speaker Nunez talked about the expectations game of whether the legislature, the expectations for the legislature are too high. And keep in mind here that Speaker Nunez is a strong supporter and really the leading proponent of Proposition 93, which is on the ballot in February, which would modify the state's term limits law. Would reduce time in office from an ability of having 14 years in office down to 12, but would allow all 12 years to be served in one chamber and, as we now know, and the No on 93 campaign is highlighting, would allow folks like Nunez and a few others to stay in office longer than the current term limits law. But listen to Speaker Nunez talking about what he perceives as the problems in the public, and not just the public, but those of us in the press, and the expectations game about state politics.
We're being judged by the press
based upon whether or not we're going to hit another home run this year like we did last year, as opposed to, are we making a difference? Are we making some progress?
Okay.
And I think that this blockbuster fatigue that people are experiencing now is something folks got to get over. It's not realistic. It's good when you want to push the legislature around. But at the end of the day, if you believe in our form of government, being that it's a democratic form of government, people are elected democratically in their districts. And if you have any faith in California and the values that we cherish as a state, I think that people need to really take a step back and view this from the perspective that it is not the perception that people will write about to try and drive a wedge between good government and tough government, and really take a step back and give this institution a bit of a break, because I think people are coming at us with a hammer these days. And let me just finish by this, especially the print media. And I don't mean this as a direct criticism. But we know,
kind of oblique.
As opposed to,
but we know it's been losing market share. I mean, if you look, we know it's been losing a lot of market share. So what needs to happen in order to sell newspaper is you gotta tighten those screws.
That was Speaker Fabian Nunez, and again, taking a shot, I think, at the press corps in particular, those in the newspaper business. My take on that is I think that the speaker is protesting probably in the wrong direction somewhat, because and again, it's difficult to know, and I didn't follow up with him, my full disclosure on this, but clearly he starts to talk about editorial boards, which is, if you read newspapers, the editorial pages are different than those of us in the straight news business. But the speaker is being watched closely, but the reality is that expectations are not only set high, I would argue, by the press, but also by lawmakers, and they love to tout things when they succeed, but they're not so happy to talk about them when they fail. Finally, here at this event on Tuesday, something light to end on, since all these big subjects. Of course, as you can tell, the whole event had a lot of laughter and a lot of jokes in it, both the ultimate in jokes, and well, this is Willie Brown being Willie Brown. But each member was asked, each lawmaker, former lawmaker, was asked, what are they most proud of in their time in office and what was their greatest disappointment? Jim Brulte, former Republican leader, was talking about the law that he wrote and helped pass that he was most proud of. And, well, you'll see where it goes from there with the ever-quotable Willie Brown.
I wrote a law that allowed young girls, actually anyone that had a child, to surrender it at hospitals or fire stations within the first 72 hours after birth. Scores of little kids have been saved as a result of that. I think that's my proudest moment. My biggest disappointment was in a Big Five meeting once, Ken Matty, David Roberti, Willie Brown, and Pete. And I looked around the room and pointed out that they were all old enough to be my father. and Willie was the only one that claimed parentage.
Great. Governor Wilson? Governor Wilson.
In that group, probably the only one capable of it.
Governor Wilson.
It's so funny.
As we have always said of Willie, all that and modesty too.
And I think former Governor Pete Wilson there at the end speaking, I think tried to find a polite but still funny way to get out of that. But as there was a lot of levity on the stage, and I think one of the things as an observer watching this event is you saw a level of camaraderie there between Democrats and Republicans of a former era that doesn't exist at the state capitol these days. The reasons are numerous. There are many things that have changed, some things for the worse, some things for the better, clearly, than the way that the legislative process used to work. But the camaraderie is nowhere near as strong today as it was those days. Maybe the stakes are higher again. Maybe society is different. So it was interesting to watch. And for political junkies, boy, this was just a custom-made event for those who are big followers of California politics. That'll do it for this week's edition of the podcast. We'll be back next week, probably with a journalist roundtable. For myself, I guess it's just for me. I'm John Myers from KQED and the California Report. We'll see you next time.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.